Hi, welcome back to The Wisdom of Your Soul. I'm Janice Mary, and I'm your host. I'm so happy to be back here talking about how we connect to this energy that lives within us. So many people are connecting. I just had a friend text me this morning about a doctor who's doing all this work on connecting to your higher self. And, you know, that sounds to me like connecting to your soul. So we're all tapping in and we're all connecting and we're all bringing back such wisdom and knowledge and help and new techniques so that we can live here in a much more centered, calm, happy, and fulfilling way. So when all the things that happen to us, good and bad, we can weather it really, really well because we know, you know, that we are a soul, and the soul is in our body, and it's eternal, so we don't really go anywhere. So that can take off some of the pressure of this life, that we exist, and if we don't get everything we want done in this lifetime, we'll have other lifetimes to do that, and it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling, and it's a wonderful thought, and it does take the pressure off feeling like you are not achieving or doing what you wanted to do, or you feel like you're running out of time. We don't have to feel that way because we have another lifetime to come back and do it again, which is so great to know. But the most thing that I think really helps is that it helps us to feel really safe and comfortable in a world that can feel the exact opposite. A lot of my clients that I see are very fearful and scared and say a lot of negative things to themselves because this world at times does not feel like a very good, safe atmosphere. It doesn't feel like we're safe sometimes. So when we connect to this energy of love, that helps us to feel safe no matter what, no matter what's going on in this world. We know that we're supported, we're taken care of, and that we're not alone. So if you're feeling alone, or, you know, if your friends or your partners aren't available to you, you know, you can tap into this support system that is always there for you. So it can be a bridge for you that when other people aren't available, because we're all so busy and crazy and doing a million things, that sometimes we don't have time to kind of sit with the people that we love and talk to them, that you can meditate and you can ask for guidance from a guide. You can connect to your soul, which then connects to everybody in spirit. So you can connect to people that have passed on. You can connect to your guides. You can connect to angels. So that's quite a bit of support. You know, we're not alone. We have a lot of people watching out for us and helping us. And the more we live that way, the more we live in a much, much more intuitive way. And we don't live so much in our mind all the time and believing all of the thoughts that kind of get us down and really sometimes don't have anything nice to say about ourselves. So it's really an amazing thing. I read a book just recently called Changed in a Flash, and I'll post the author and the title again in the information section because it was an amazing book. And so this woman basically got struck by lightning and she had a near-death experience. So she died, and she talks all about this experience, and I can't do it justice, but I just found this book so amazing because the way she describes heaven and the feelings that she felt and what she sees really reminds me so much of how I feel when I connect to my soul energy. I've read other books about near-death experiences, and I feel like I can really, really relate to them. Even though I've never had a near-death experience, it awakens something in me that feels very familiar of when I go into the soul energy. It's the same. I see the same things. I hear the same things. I'm downloaded with knowledge for myself and other people that I don't know how it got downloaded, and it's very, very hard to put into words. And throughout the book, she says that often. She says, I can't really put into words how beautiful the spirit world was and what happened and what they taught me. I now know, but to translate it into words is very, very difficult. And I say all the time, you know, when I connect to the soul energy, I can barely put it into words. Words don't do it justice. So I just find it fascinating that when I read a book about a near-death experience that I can really, really relate to, because it really wakes up something within me. So I would really highly recommend that book. The first part of the book, the first half, is all about her experience with the spirit world and how when she passed over, she was not alone, that she was greeted, and nobody's alone, and everybody's greeted with somebody and is guided and is in a place that it feels safe and comfortable to them. So what she was saying is that you basically create your own heaven. So whatever makes you feel safe and comfortable is what you would create. So she felt very safe in her garden. So when she passed on, she was in a beautiful, beautiful garden. And she said the garden was so gorgeous. It had all these beautiful flowers, but the colors were more vibrant and more alive. And there were actually more colors than the colors that we know. And she didn't even have any words to describe them. And she knew that this was a really, really safe place for her. And she saw other people in her garden too. But she knew, she intuitively knew that their heaven probably didn't look like a garden. Like their heaven looked like the thing that would make them feel safe. So if you love the beach, you might, when you pass on, be put on the beach with other people, but you will intuitively know that everybody is on in their own heaven, so to speak. So it was so fascinating and so interesting. I would highly recommend it because, you know, once she passed on, she didn't feel any pain and she wasn't scared. She knew kind of what was happening, and she just, you know, was guided, and she just felt so loved. And she even said she has never felt so unconditionally loved before. And I have definitely felt that same way, that the love that I feel from the soul and in spirit, you can't even put into words. It's not like a human love. It's so deep and so unconditional, and you just know that you're very, very loved and worthy. So it's a great book. It's an amazing book, and I just loved it, you know. So I would highly, highly recommend Changed in a Flash. It talks all about her experience and what happened to her and how she did have a choice to come back into her own body. She could have passed on and left. But she chose to come back, and she said it was a very, very hard choice because she didn't want to leave. It was so such a beautiful place, and it was so filled with love that she didn't want to leave. So that says a lot about what happens to us when we go back into the spirit world. Just another really, really comforting book. And it'll awaken something in you because we're all spirit. So as you're reading it, it will help you to remember where you come from, because we all come from the same place. And it'll help you to even connect to your soul energy a little bit more, because it's a reminder. It's a reminder of who we are, where we come from, what happens to us, and it's quite a, it's just phenomenal. So I hope you get a chance to check out that book and read it. And, you know, I think it will really help you a lot. And it'll be a nice reminder to connect into the soul energy. So today what I wanted to talk about, I talked about Abraham Hicks before. I love them. Esther Hicks, who channels entities that help her. Talk about the law of attraction. So I get her quotes every day, and I would highly recommend that if you don't do this, to sign up for her free quotes. They'll come to your email every day. So it's a nice way to start your day. It's a nice way to connect to your soul energy and to realize that we have so much control over our lives and how to create our lives. And I thought that this particular quote was really interesting because when I'm working with people, this comes up a lot, especially in couples counseling. So I want to read it to you and discuss it a little bit. Okay, so this is the quote. It is very difficult to understand what anybody else's experience is. There aren't enough words to really understand what anybody else is living. Physical beings want things to be the same. They want people to think the same. You work rather hard at sameness, but you will never win that battle because from the non-physical, diversity is known to be the most beneficial part of the game. So that just struck me because we do like the same. We like to be the same. We like to have friends that are the same. We like to be in relationships and feel like our partners are on the same page, so to speak. And we just feel more comfortable when people are perceiving the world, living in the world, and doing things in the world that we do. And, you know, we don't want to beat ourselves up for that. It's just more comfortable to be around people that are like us. That's understandable, completely understandable. However, you know, we are also unique and we all really perceive our world so, so differently that, you know, we are the same, but we're so, so different. And that the differences are really sometimes a stumbling block for us. And sometimes because people are different, we decide we don't want to be friends with them, we don't want to be around them, and we can block them out. So it does block our ability to get to know other people. So it is a challenge for us to look at people's differences in a way of curiosity. Oh, how does this person react to this situation? I wonder. Or why is this person reacting to this situation? I wonder. Instead of us taking it personally, oh, I don't like the way they're reacting, so I'm going to move away from them. I had a couple come in, and they just got into this huge, huge fight right in front of me, like they often do, trigger themselves in my office. And the fight was over something very simple. It was over some kind of work they were doing in the house. And the husband was seeing the situation one way, and the wife was seeing the situation another way. And I was listening to them, and because they didn't view what happened around this work in the house the same, the woman wanted the workers to do one thing, and the husband wanted the workers to do another thing. So they were getting into a fight about that. And they were so upset with each other that they weren't on the same page. And that's what really struck me the most, is that they were so hurt that they were looking at the situation differently and taking that so personally. And it's understandable because we want what we want. So if he wanted the installation to be put in one way and she wanted it to be put in another way, you know, we can get very, very stubborn. We want what we want, basically. So I was talking to them, and I just kind of encouraged them to say, all right, well, let's just really explore each side. Let's explore from your husband's perspective and then your perspective. And I listened to both of them, and they both perspectives made complete sense to me. I could see the reason why the husband wanted it his way, and I could see the reason why the wife wanted it her way. So nobody was wrong. So that's what I always have to kind of help people to see, is that, you know, just because you two have completely different perspectives doesn't mean that somebody's wrong, and it doesn't mean that you have to hate each other, and it doesn't mean that there's something wrong now with your relationship, because people can take it that far. It's like, well, you don't agree with me on with this. I don't know what's wrong with you. I don't think I could be with somebody that can't see my point of view. And it can go that bad, that fast. I have seen it. So basically, it's really important for us to just really, really be open to the differences and to value these differences, which is so hard for us to do, and to open up to listening to it. Like, basically a therapist does. And really all I did for them was give both of them the space to talk about their perspective, why they felt what they felt, to be validated and to be heard. And once both of them did that, they felt better. And then I could say to them, listen, you know, I could see both of your perspectives are very, very valuable. And I could see why each of you wants what you want. And once that happened, you know, the arguments started to subside. I could tell that they were not that upset with each other, which was really, really good. So once we really explored why each of them felt what they felt, you know, we really got to this point of them not fighting and being so mad at each other. I could actually see the husband, who was furious, just kind of come down from on a scale of 1 to 10, a 10 to an 8 to a 6 to a 5 to a 2. And I could see the wife, her frustration also come down. So once they're at that point, I could say, all right, so we both know you both have valid points. So let's leave off the evaluations, because both of them were calling each other stupid for having their perspective. So I was like, okay, let's leave evaluations off. We don't have to judge someone else's perspective. It is just what it is. So they left, and then I said, well, how about, since both of your perspectives are really, you know, valid and I understand them and now you do too, can we meet in the middle? You know, can we just compromise? Can we find a place that will feel a little bit similar, you know, so that we could take each of your experience and each of your thoughts, and we can combine them and do a little bit of what you want and a little bit of what she wanted. And we were able to do that. So it was really just more like a conflict mediation session. But we need that. We need that, because a lot of times, the minute somebody starts speaking in a way that feels different, we don't listen. We shut down. And we don't want to listen to it. And I know that I do the same thing. If I'm in a conversation and someone starts talking about something that I totally don't agree, I have a tendency to just shut down. When I go into the soul energy, it reminds me to listen, just listen and be curious. You know, how is it that this person has come to this conclusion? And when you do that, and when you really listen and you really understand another person that you're not understanding, then you do get their perspective. So our own need to have things the way we want them blocks our ability to understand another person's perspective. And that is very frustrating to us. And it also makes us feel alone. Then it makes us feel like, well, no one's on the same page as me. And we don't have to feel that way. So it's really, if we view other people as very different from us, but that we're going to really embrace these differences, then we really are much, much more open to listening to other people and their differences. I see a lot of people that are a little bit more sensitive and shy and quiet and would be labeled maybe more introverted. And I do see extroverts too. And I do find that introverted people feel so judged, like their style, their way of being is wrong. And I try to tell them all the time that just because you're quiet and just because you don't want to travel the world and you want to stay home and you want to, you know, watch TV and read books and maybe do some artwork or do some writing, that there's nothing wrong with you. And to embrace who you are and stop fighting who you are. But a lot of introverted people do get kind of like harassed a little bit by the extroverts of the world, because the extroverts are always like, come on, let's go out. Come on, let's go out. You never do anything. You never want to do anything. You're so boring, blah, 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 blah. So it's very easy for us to become very judgmental of each other. And there's a place for the extroverts of the world, and they do beautiful work in this world, and so do the introverts. So again, looking not to make ourselves the same, and to embrace these differences. So if when you're in a marriage, generally it's an introvert and an extrovert. And those opposites are there for a reason, so that we can become a whole, so that the introvert can help the extrovert quiet down a little bit, and the introvert can help the extrovert can help the introvert experience life a little bit. But without putting each other down and without making it that it has to be that way, because the minute that happens, then people's feelings get hurt, and then you feel like your way of being or your style is wrong. So I tell all the time my introverted clients, read that book, Quiet. That's another amazing book, because it talks all about the experience of an introvert in an extroverted world. And, you know, it's really, really, really fascinating. So I'll put that book also down in the description so you could look at that too, because we really want to embrace whatever style we are, whether we're introverted or extroverted. So that's a really another really great book to check out. And, you know, it really, really helps. So getting back to connecting to our soul energy, because that's really where we find all this wisdom and where we find all this support. And we find all this guidance. You know, in my own therapy practice, my soul really has helped me to be extremely present with people, so that I'm no longer worried about, well, what technique do I need to use on them? What do I need to do? When I connect into the soul energy, it brings me into this place of unconditional love. And when I'm in this place of unconditional love, I can feel and see very clearly the soul of each person that sits before me. And I could also see the value so much in each person. And maybe in the past, you know, if I had seen this couple, I would have tended to agree with one or the other and not say it, but maybe agree with the other partner, be the one that was more similar to me. So in the soul energy, I don't do that anymore, because I can see value in differences, and I can see the reason why these two people are together, that they're meant to be together to share experiences, different experiences, and to help each other grow and to help their souls grow. So for me, it's a much, much different experience in the therapy session itself when I connect to my soul energy, and it is for my clients as well. I can tell the way I do any kind of interventions is much, much different, and it's much, much more, seems to me to be much, much more effective. Where in the past, I think if they came in with that problem, it maybe wouldn't have been resolved so quickly, and it was resolved really quickly. And the person that was really angry was not angry anymore, and they walked out really happy and off to go out to dinner together. So to me, that felt very successful, you know, and that makes me feel so great that they could walk in ready, you know, ready to get a divorce, basically, because that's how they came in. Like, they hated each other and they wanted to, like, divorce each other, to being back on track and going out now for a nice Saturday night dinner. So that is an amazing feat, and that is going into your soul energy and asking for help and asking for wisdom, so that we can all benefit from that. And it's an amazing experience. So how do you get into that soul energy again? You just ask to connect to your soul energy. Ask, well, what does my soul look like? You know, what does my soul want to say to me today? Can my soul give me a sign? I a lot of times will ask my soul to give me a sign if I'm on the right track. So recently I asked my soul, I was writing something or doing something, and I said, all right, I don't know if I should be doing this. And, you know, I always tend to second guess myself. So I asked my soul, if I'm supposed to be doing this, can you please show me a hummingbird? Which I knew a hummingbird is not an easy bird to see. I mean, I do not have any hummingbird feeders, and I'm not outside all that much. I mean, I do take walks, but generally I don't see hummingbirds. And so I said, you know, to my soul, spirit, my guides, whoever wanted to give me this validation, to show me a hummingbird. And I made it difficult enough because I figured it's not going to work. And that night, a very interesting thing happened. One of my clients had drew a beautiful picture. And so she sent me the picture just to share it with me. And under it, it said a hummingbird. And it was, she drew a picture of a hummingbird. So how fascinating is that? How cool is that? I mean, it's just, you can't, you know, to ask for something like that and to actually get it is an amazing experience. And it just validates that we are supported and we have this amazing support system in spirit. We just do. So if you're doing something, you know, that you need some validation or help with, you know, ask your soul if you're on the right track. Just ask them and make up a sign that is like a little bit difficult so that you can really feel like, oh, that really worked. That really did work. So that you know you're connecting to spirit. Go on walks, meditative walks. And just empty your mind and see if you hear or see or feel anything different. That's connecting to your soul. Meditating, you know, go on YouTube and do some guided meditating. That will connect to your soul. I had a beautiful experience this morning. I have been a little worried about my daughter who's been having some anxiety. She goes to college. And so I did some meditation, and in the meditation, I felt my soul guiding me to form kind of like a ball between my hands, and I felt in between my hands this white light. It was like white and pink light in between my hands, and it was just kind of beautiful white pinkish light, and then I felt them say, wrap that around her. So then I did kind of like a funnel because she's not here. So I kind of gave her this ball of white pink light. And then once she had it, then I just encircled her around this white pink light. I encircled her. And then I put her sister in and I put everybody else that I know that's having anxiety in it too. And kept them in this white pinkish light. And what I felt from my soul, what my soul was saying is she's having anxiety because she's in a dorm and she's very sensitive. So she's picking up on a lot of people's feelings and thoughts and anxieties. And that's making her a little dizzy. And she is stressed and she is anxious. So try to tell her to just encircle herself in white light. But I did it for her. So I will share that with her. But because she is 18, she probably is not going to listen to me because she thinks a lot of the stuff that I say is right, mom. So the good thing, if you're a parent, you can do this stuff for your kids. So you can ask their angels to keep an eye out for them, which I did also. I do that with both my girls all the time because it's so hard them being out in the world and you know, they're not little anymore, so I have no control over them. Not that I had any control of them when they were little, because I didn't, but I feel like as adults, and, you know, my one daughter is always going places and doing things, which I love that she's like that, but it does scare me. So I'm always sending the angels to her, and then I did this meditation for my other daughter, and, you know, it's just a way that you feel like you can do something for them, and I would not have thought to do that myself at all. White and pink light? No. Where would I get that from? But when I was in meditation and I was asking my soul, you know, my higher self, and I was asking my guides, that's what they told me. So it's very, very powerful stuff. And the amount of wisdom and guidance is endless, is just endless. You know, your soul will guide you to books. I think my soul guided me to that book, Changed in a Flash, because it was so powerful for me. And my soul will guide me to other learnings. Abraham Hicks, my soul, I'm sure, guided me too. So, you know, listen to your soul. Don't listen to your thoughts. Your thoughts are just saying the same thing over and over again. Listen to what your soul has to say to you. Meditate, walk. Listen to other people that are connected spiritually, like Abraham Hicks and Eckhart Tolle. Listen to those kind of people that are connecting in a way that is helping this world and will help you individually, and then it helps us all collectively. And we're doing amazing work, all of us. So keep it up. And, you know, check out all the other radio shows on psychic.network, because we have so many different shows now and so many different interesting topics. So check it all out, and I hope to talk to you soon. Have a great day. Hope this helps, and keep on connecting to the wisdom of your soul. Take care. Bye-bye.